like to offer our gratitude to His Holiness Srila Kavichandra Maharaj for so mercifully coming to make this day especially auspicious. As we have heard from His own transcendental mouth, Srila Prabhupada personally recognized Kavichandra Maharaj as a servant of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And we know that the most appropriate way of approaching the Master is through the servant. We can please the Master in the best possible way by pleasing the servant. In fact, there is no more dear way of glorifying Lord Nityananda Prabhu than glorifying His dear servants. Srila Prabhupada has so mercifully sent Lord Nityananda Prabhu's dear servant in the form of His Holiness Kavichandra Maharaj. Let us very enthusiastically welcome him to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Srila Kavichandra Maharaj, every year in the International Festival of Mayapur, he performs the Navadvip Mandala Parikrama with all the devotees. One of the only leaders of our society that does this service every year, again and again. Sometimes he's in very ill health, but it is his desire always to serve the Vaishnav community by inspiring them in the field of devotion to the holy dharma of Sri Navadvip. And this was Nityananda Prabhu's mission, to bring Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Navadvip Dham to the attention of all living beings. We have heard from Maharaj the wonderful childhood pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, how he would enact super excellent dramas of Krishna's Leela and the various incarnations, along with his little friends in Ekachakra. How when he was only a child of 12 years old, by his own sweet will, he arranged an unknown sannyasi to come and take him from his mother and father on tour of the holy places. He traveled throughout the north, south, east, and west of the great land of India, visiting so many holy places. Vaidyanath, Bakreshwar. He went to Ayodhya, Prayag, Kashi. He went to Vrindavan. While he was in Gokul, he recognized that this was the place that he was born in his previous incarnation. When he went into the house of Nanda Maharaj, he began to cry in ecstatic love. He traveled to all the 12 forests of Vrindavan. And the whole while, it was like a little child playing like a cowherd boy. He went to Hastinapur, and when he remembered the devotion and the austerities of the Pandavas, he cried in ecstatic love for his devotees. He went all the way north to Badrikashram, Kurukshetra. He went to Dwarka. He went all the way to Kanyakumari, Rameshwaram. He climbed a hill called Mahendra, and there he met with Parasuram. He went to Tirupati, Srirangam, Kanchipuram. In Kanchipuram, he saw fighting between the Shivites and the Vaishnavas. And he began to laugh. At one place, while he was traveling, he asked some Buddhists a question, but they were so absorbed in meditation that they did not answer him, so he kicked their heads. You may think that is impolite, but actually it is very polite, because his lotus feet, whoever touches them, gets delivered and achieves Krishna bhakti. So it was perhaps the only way to give them Krishna bhakti. His mercy. When he was in Pandrapur, he was staying in the house of a Brahmin whose guru was Lakshmipati Tirtha. One day Lakshmipati Tirtha came to visit. At that time he was a very old man. He was traveling with disciples. And Nityananda Prabhu, he is so transcendentally mysterious in his devotional service that Lakshmipati Tirtha did not know he was there. One evening, this great Acharya was praying to Lord Balaram and singing the glories of Balaram. And then he fell asleep. In a dream, his beloved worshipable deity Balaram appeared to him and told him, "Tomorrow a young Brahmin will come to you and ask for initiation. You should initiate him and give him this mantra." Lakshmipati Tirtha woke up. As soon as he woke up, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, who was then very young, he approached Lakshmipati Tirtha. He fell at his lotus feet, and with great reverence and folded palms, he asked him for initiation. So Lakshmipati Tirtha whispered the same mantra that Balaram had given him that night. After accepting this diksha, Nityananda Prabhu, with folded palms and great submissiveness, he said, "My body is yours, my life is yours, I am your servant. Please accept me." Lakshmipati Tirtha could not understand why in his heart he felt so much love, so much ecstasy upon seeing this disciple, like no other person he had ever met. But later on, he had another dream. Balaram again appeared before him, but this time revealed that he was Nityananda Prabhu himself. And when he understood that Balaram himself came to be his disciple, he was in too much ecstasy. But he was told not to reveal this to anyone. From that point on, Lakshmipati Tirtha day and night was meditating on Lord Nityananda Prabhu in ecstatic love in the core of his heart. In fact, he was so much in ecstasy, he could not contain it. And a few days later, he left this world and went back home, back to Godhead. In Lord Nityananda Prabhu's travels to Western India, he met with Srila Madhavendra Puri. This was such a historic meeting. When they saw each other, they both fainted. They could not maintain their consciousness in the presence of each other. Somehow or other, they came back to consciousness and they began to embrace each other and cry, soaking, bathing each other in tears of love. The devotees of Madhavendra Puri, headed by Ishwara Puri, were struck with wonder. They had never seen such an ecstatic exchange ever before. They had never saw their Guru Maharaj in so much bliss. somehow or other, Nityananda Prabhu tried to speak. He said, I have traveled to so many holy places, but today I have achieved the fruit of my pilgrimage, because today I am seeing the ecstatic love of Srila Madhavendra Puri. Your lotus feet are the sum total of all holy places, for whoever is in contact with you will certainly achieve love of Krishna. Madhavendra Puri said that I have traveled so many places and I have seen so many materialistic people, but never have I seen the symptoms of love of God that are constantly decorating Nityananda Prabhu. Wherever your lotus feet are, that becomes all holy places. Whoever sees you or touches you will achieve love of Krishna. That is your glory. In this way, Madhavendra Puri and Nityananda Prabhu shared such love for one another. Sometimes they danced, sometimes they sang, sometimes they spoke in so many in ways that no one could understand. Many days went by, but the Lord had a mission for each of them. So, somehow or other, in the agony of separation, they parted from one another. And Nityananda Prabhu traveled from that place to Setu Bandha. And eventually, he came to Vrindavan, where he lived under a tree in a beautiful forest near the Jamuna. The name of that place is Sringarbhat. There, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was absorbed in waiting for Lord Chaitanya to reveal his lila of propagating the Harinam Sankirtan movement. While waiting, like a little child, he would play in the Jamuna. He forgot about eating and sleeping. He was just so happy to be in Vrindavan. Sometimes he would decorate his body with flowers from the gardens of Vrindavan. Sometimes he would roll in the dust of Vrindavan. In this way, Nityananda Prabhu was experiencing the ecstasy of a cowherd boy. When he went to Ram Ghat, where he would perform his lila, he was overwhelmed with transcendental happiness of remembering his lila of Balaram. But in his heart, he was waiting for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's indication to come to Navadvipa. It is said that he went on this pilgrimage for 20 years. He left home at the age of 12, and at the age of 32 of Nityananda Prabhu, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya. After taking initiation from Srila Ishwara Puri, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to manifest the ecstasies of Sri Radha's love for Krishna and wanted to distribute that love to everyone and anyone through the congregational chanting of Krishna's holy name.
Krishna, 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 Krishna.
In his heart of hearts, Nityananda Prabhu understood that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has returned to Navadvipa, and now he is singing and dancing with his devotees. Through the whole 20 years Nityananda Prabhu traveled, he never gave devotional service to anyone. He would not preach, because Nityananda Prabhu was always in the mood of the servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And until Lord Gaur Sundar gave him the order to preach Krishna Bhakti, he would not preach. Until he received the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, He did not give love of God to anyone. Although he was perfectly fit to do so, he wanted to give all credit to Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He wanted the world to know that I am the servant of Sri Chaitanya. Nityananda Prabhu then went to Sri Navadvip Dham. And there he hid in the house of Sri Nandanacharya. His Holiness Srila Kavyachandra Maharaj has beautifully described the wonderful meeting of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. After they met in ecstatic embrace, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took Lord Nityananda Prabhu to the house of Srivas from Dandanacharyas, and there Lord Chaitanya instructed his devotees, begin kirtan. It was in the house of Srivas Thakur that Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu watched all the devotees chanting and dancing. And being inspired by the Vaishnavas, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda rose and they began to dance together. Such dancing no one has ever seen. So graceful, so full of love. The two brothers, their eyes were flowing with tears, their hairs were standing on end, their limbs were trembling. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya was dancing so graceful that his feet would touch his own head. And Nityananda Prabhu, when he would be in his ecstasies of love, he became so filled with Krishna prema that when his foot would touch the ground, the entire earth began to move in that direction. Sometimes the brothers would embrace. Sometimes after embracing, they would fall unconscious. And there was no symptoms of life. Sometimes they would leap, sometimes they would twirl. Sometimes they would try to touch each other's feet. But they were both so intelligent that neither one could touch the other's feet. When the devotees saw the beautiful chanting and dancing of Nityananda Prabhu, they were all in the ecstasy of such happiness. Krishna and Balaram were reunited in the holy land of Navadvip to give the love of Vrindavan freely to everyone and anyone who will simply accept it with faith. They danced for many, many hours. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, somehow or other, he ended the kirtan. He said, tomorrow is your Vyas Puja. Nityananda Prabhu had already said he wanted to celebrate it at Srivas's house. So Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees went to their respective homes. But Lord Nityananda Prabhu stayed at Srivas's house. He was in so much ecstasy upon meeting Lord Chaitanya that in the middle of the night he began to roar like a lion. Nityananda Prabhu was at that time an avadut, and he would dress like an avadut. He only had two possessions, a danda and a water pot. That night in ecstasy he broke his danda to pieces and tore his water pot to pieces and threw them in various directions. The next morning Ramai Pandit, Srivas's brother, saw. He reported to Srivas. Srivas said, you better tell Lord Chaitanya what this Nityananda Prabhu is doing. So Lord Chaitanya came there and gently picked up the danda and the water pot, which was all pieces, and said to Lord Nityananda, let us go to bathe in Ganga. All the devotees followed. When they got to the river Ganga, Nityananda Prabhu happened to see a very dangerous crocodile swimming in the river Ganga. So he just cried out in great ecstasy and jumped in the water, swimming toward the crocodile. The devotees were very much afraid. They were crying, Haya, Haya, stop, come back. But Nityananda Prabhu could not hear anyone. He was just swimming very rapidly toward the crocodile. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he called, Nitai, it is time for your Vyas Puja, return. When Lord Chaitanya spoke, it was like the rod that is used to tame an animal. That Nityananda Prabhu, as the servant, would follow whatever instruction Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave. So he came back to the bank. They went to Srivasa's house. Srivasa arranged for wonderful ceremony to worship Vedavyas. The mantras were chanted, the rituals were performed, and then Srivas gave a beautiful scented flower garland to Sri Nityananda Prabhu. He told him, now it is the appropriate time in our ceremony to offer this garland to Vedavyas. Nityananda Prabhu was looking here and there. He replied, let it be so. He held the garland. His eyes were looking in the four directions. Srivas said, Lord Nityananda Prabhu, please, now is the time. Offer the garland to Vyasadeva. Let it be so. He stood holding the garland. Again and again, Srivas told him, please offer the garland to Vedavyas. Alas, Srivas approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, said, Your Nityananda, he will not give the garland to Vedavyas. Lord Chaitanya approached him and said, please offer the garland to Srila Vyasadeva. Nityananda Prabhu looked with great love and devotion at the beautiful moon-like face of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and placed the garland around the neck of Lord Chaitanya. This beautiful garland became ever more beautiful when it touched the curling black hair that was cascading down the broad golden shoulders of Sri Gauranga. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Satbhuja, six-arm form, to Nityananda Prabhu. Four of the arms were holding the conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower. And two of his arms, one was holding a mace, and one was holding the plow of Lord Balaram. When Nityananda Prabhu saw this wonderful, wonderful six-armed form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he fell to the ground unconscious. There was not a trace of life to be seen in his body. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the devotees to begin kirtan. As they chanted, somehow or other Nityananda Prabhu came back to consciousness. And again he saw this beautiful six-armed form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Worship this form with great love and great devotion. Lord Chaitanya in this form told Nityananda Prabhu that you are so dear to Krishna. You are Balaram himself. Whoever receives your mercy will receive my mercy. And then, after the ceremony was, then Lord Chaitanya came back to his original form and said, now the Vyas Puja is complete, begin kirtan. So the devotees began to chant and dance throughout the entire rest of the day. Then there was nice prasad. Nityananda Prabhu resided in the house of Srivas Thakur. So many wonderful pastimes he performed there. It is described that Sachi Devi, when she first saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda dancing together, she recognized that this is my own son. The first son of Sachi Devi was Vishwaroop. Vishwaroop was a plenary expansion of Nityananda Prabhu. In fact, when Vishwaroop left his body in Pandharapur, his spirit entered into the body of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. So Sachi Mata actually felt the love of her own son for Nityananda Prabhu. Of course, she was also Yashoda Mai, who loved Lord Balaram like her own son. So she was always very eager to serve Gaur Nitai. One day, Lord Chaitanya brought Lord Nityananda to his home. And Sachi Devi gave 5 pieces of sandesh that she had prepared on a nice place to Lord Nityananda. So he ate one of them, and then he took the other 4 and threw them outside in different directions in the ground. Sachi Devi asked, "Why did you do this? You have spoiled the sandesh. I made them for you." He said, you go and you see if they are in the house." Even though he threw them a distance away, Sachi Mata went to another part of the house and she saw on the plate, in a perfect line, were the 4 pieces of sandesh sitting in the house. She was amazed. "This is wonderful." So she took whatever dust was off it and she went to bring it back to Lord Nityananda Prabhu. And when she came back, he was eating laddus. She asked, "Where did you get these laddus?" He said, "You wanted me to eat, so I am eating." So many wonderful pastimes Nityananda Prabhu performed just to give pleasure to the devotees. On one occasion, Malini, the consort of Srivas Thakur, was preparing the puja paraphernalia for her husband. There was a cup filled with ghee. At that time, a crow came and picked up that cup and flew away. Then the crow came back without the cup of ghee. She was so much sad that she would disappoint her husband in assisting him in his service. She began to cry. At that time, Lord Nityananda Prabhu came and he asked Malini, "Why you are crying?" She said, "This crow has said that I can always remain the servant of the servant of the servant." Kolavecha Sridhar was as poor as Varadacharya, perhaps even more poor. And when he was offered all the opulences of the heavens, all the mystic cities of the yogis, he did not want. He only wanted to be the servant of the servant of the servant. So we find, what is real wealth? Of course, there are other stories, like Sudama Vipra. He was a poor man. He accepted all the wealth to please his wife. And he still remained the servant of the servant of the servant. And in Vaikuntha, there is no poverty in Vaikuntha. There are no beggars in Vaikuntha. Everyone is endowed with unlimited quantities of wealth. You see, in this material world, there's limited resources, so there's limited wealth. But in the spiritual world, everything is ananta, everything is unlimited. There is no end. It is inconceivable to the material mind. Everyone can have as much as they want of everything. But as soon as they want to enjoy any of it for themselves, they get kicked out. Hare Krishna. But there's unlimited resources for everyone. That is Vaikuntha. And everyone simply utilizes it all for Krishna. This is the spiritual world. And this is what Lord Brahma has seen, and this is what Lord Brahma has revealed to the world through disciplic succession. The path of pure bhakti. The bank of the Ganges outside. Sukadev Goswami, his temple was a banyan tree. Didn't even wear clothes. What do we need? Prabhupada said to a devotee, Hari Katha, Hari Nama, little prasad, we're happy if we have nice association. However, if we have the means, what are we going to do with it? We should strive to make something wonderful. Sanatana Goswami was living under trees, but when he had the means, he built Madan Mohan Temple. Rupa Goswami was living under trees, but when the means were available, he built Radha Govinda Dev Temple. Not a small project, for those of you who have seen. We will, hopefully with Sri Radha Gopinath's mercy, we will be visiting these places on October 18th in Sri Vrindavan Town. Hopefully, let us see. Please know, you cannot just go to Vrindavan because you paid your fees or bought a railway ticket. It's only by the mercy of Krishna. We have to make our appeal and a way to see if Krishna is going to give us that mercy of going to Sri Vrindavan together. Hare Krishna. So here in Bombay, the most advanced city in India, in the sense of running away from its own spiritual culture, it is very important that we make these wonderful centers. Brahmacharis become grihasthas. Rare souls remain brahmacharis. But those brahmacharis that become grihasthas, they become first-class grihasthas if they're trained properly. They're honest, they're moral, they're pure, they have real devotion and intense devotion. And they perform their work for the real welfare of their family, the society and the world. Why? Because they understand what welfare is all about. It's not to decorate a dying body. It's to ornament the eternal soul with bhakti. That is the purpose. Grihamedi means I am enjoyer. Grihastha means I am servant. But not service of my senses. Not service of the senses of my family members, servants of God, and utilizing and directing everyone in the service of God. That is grihastha. Thus, you can be a farmer, you can be a businessman, you can be a politician, you can be a military man, an architect, an engineer, a housewife, anything. All these occupations are within the Varnashram system. Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. You can be a teacher. You could be an administrator. You can be agricultural businessman. Or you can be a laborer. They are all wonderful. Perfect. When we perform our occupation in a spirit of devotion. Under the direction of Krishna. And then, when the family grows up and we have fulfilled our purposes, then Lord Brahma, under the direction of Krishna, created vanaprastha life. It is said, Mahajana Yena Gatasa Panta.
One can achieve the ultimate perfection of life only by following in the footsteps of the Mahajans. There are 12 primary Mahajans. And anyone who follows in the footsteps of the Mahajans, we can follow in their footsteps and achieve the ultimate perfection of life. But we see these Mahajans have very variegated roles in their life in this world. And Svayambhuva Manu is one of these Mahajans. He is younger brother of the Kumaras. Very different examples they gave according to different particular types of people. Vidura wanted to hear of both. Lord Brahma gave birth to the four Kumaras. Now it's Lord Brahma's service to be the leader of all Prajapatis. That means he's supposed to populate the planets of the universe with the various species of life. So he told the Kumaras, "You are my son? You do. You marry? You procreate. You become kings." The four Kumaras, they were by their own nature so detached, so unconcerned with anything except fixing their mind in the absolute truth. They refused to marry. They refused to take on this service. So Lord Brahma, like most fathers whose sons do this, we became Americans, Africans, chanting Harinam, living pure Vaishnava principles, and accepting the life of the teachings of Gita.
हर एक देश के ऐसे रशिया यूरोप अफ्रीका सब प्रकार के लोग हरि नाम लेते और भगवद गीता के अनुसार पवित्र जीवन बिताने लगे.
Sometimes people who are not so well informed, when they see the Hare Krishna movement, they think this is something very new.
जब लोगों को ज्यादा जानकारी नहीं होती तब वो जब हरे कृष्णा भक्तों को देखते हैं तो सोचते हैं ये कुछ नई चीज है.
In this great land of India, people have such a deep spiritual tradition which is the background of their whole culture.
ये भारतवर्ष में इतना गहरा आध्यात्मिक संस्कृति है जो कि उनके परंपरा का भाग है.
But unfortunately, people have missed to a large extent the essence of what the culture is for.
लेकिन दुर्भाग्यवश वो भूल गए हैं कि ये संस्कृति का सार क्या है.
There is so much superstition.
और इतना अंधविश्वास है.
And ritualism.
और इतने रीति रिवाज हैं.
But the basis of the whole Vedic culture is pure bhakti.
बल्कि वैदिक संस्कृति का जो आधार है शुद्ध भक्ति.
So when the Krishna consciousness movement was originated in the Western world by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, and then he brought his followers back to India, some people thought that this is a very new spiritual movement.
जब कृष्ण भावना आंदोलन अमेरिका में प्रचार किया गया और फिर कुछ शिष्य जो है भारत में उसको ले आए तो लोग सोचने लगे कि ये कोई नई चीज है जो यहाँ पर प्रचार की जा रही है.
But not at all.
लेकिन वास्तव में सत्य नहीं है.
It is the most ancient spiritual science.
ये सबसे प्राचीन आध्यात्मिक विज्ञान है.
It is Sanatan Dharma.
Prominent quality of Kshatriyas. The honor of their word. These days, in all countries throughout the world, have intentions to keep their words. I will not speak about India because I do not know so much, but I know in the West, when politicians go on their campaigns to get votes, they promise everything. And then when it's time for the next election, the citizens come forward and say, "Everything you promised, you've done nothing." And they always say, it's not my fault. What can I do? It's because of him. It's because of them. In this way, no citizens have really any trust in their leaders anymore, because nobody values their word of honor. A real kshatriya, anything he says, he will die before he goes back on his word. Where is such honor in this age of Kali Yuga? Vishwamitra Muni said, you have given your word. At that time, Vasishtha Muni explained to Dasarath that, I know who this Vishwamitra is. He could kill all these demons himself. And you have nothing to fear. Ram is all powerful. So with a very, very heavy heart, Dasarath surrendered. He surrendered what was most dear to his life, his own beloved son, Ram and Lakshman. So Ram, very happily, along with Lakshman, went into the forest with the great sage Vishwamitra. And they came to the hermitage. And there the sages were assembled, and they were in great fear. This vow is so mighty and so powerful that no one has even able to lift it. But I have made a vow. I have vowed that it will take that great king or prince who can string or bend this bow to marry my daughter Sita. And he explained, who is this Sita? How, while he was plowing the fields, she was born from the very earth itself. She was more beautiful than any other personality on earth. She was the very embodiment of charm, sweetness, beauty. She was an ocean of loving qualities. And the demigods and great kings and the rakshasas, everyone was mad to have the hand of Sita in marriage. And they were all lining up, coming to try to bend this bow. And there was a big, big arena, like a stadium, what we would call today, where thousands of people would gather to watch the tournament of various people trying to lift the bow. Much more interesting than the cricket matches of India. More purifying also. So, it is said even Ravana himself came, but he could not even budge this bow from this. And Janak said, so many great kings and princes, they would come, and not being able to lift the bow, they would become so angry that they would begin to attack the city. And Janak had to use all his resources just to defend the kingdom of Mithila from all of these greedy and lusty people. Supreme absolute truth, Godhead. There is no difference. But that one supreme truth, Bhagavan, who is the controller of all controllers, the cause of all causes, the source of incarnations and in expansions of those incarnations are determining the affairs of this entire creation, who is the source of all the demigods, the devatas, that one supreme truth divides himself into two forms for the purpose of enjoying eternal pleasure. Rasa Vihari. Simply to enjoy loving exchange, the Lord enjoys himself. Sita is the pleasure potency, the Hladini Shakti of the Absolute Truth. She is Godhead who appears for the enjoyment of himself. She is the supreme essence and source of all bhakti or devotion. And there is nothing that pleases Ram except bhakti or devotion. So therefore, in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, it is our eternal aspiration to simply try to assist, as the servant of the servant of the servant, the wonderful loving pastimes that God has with His own eternal energy in the form of Sita or Radharani. So in this Leela, it was the first time that the Supreme Enjoyer, Sri Ram, just at the time of Ram and Sita's marriage, it rang 9 times, celebrating Ram Navami. It is also warning us that we should end the program tonight. So we will continue this narration of Sri Ram's Leela tomorrow night at Kandivali. Someone can explain program. So in this way, Sri Sri Sitaram reunited. And Janak Maharaj sent the news to Maharaj Dasarath and invited him to agree to this wonderful proposal. And he sent his ministers. And when the ministers arrived in Ayodhya with the letter from Janak Maharaj that Ram has strung the bow, we are proposing to you that he take the hand of Sita in marriage. And Dasarath was overjoyed. And Maharaj Janak, in great devotion, he actually sent all the way from Ayodhya to Mithila, which is many hundreds and hundreds of miles. They made beautiful, beautiful roads for the bridegroom's party. Not only beautiful roads, but he very quickly, in a matter of just days, he erected wonderful guest house for them to stay on the way, and sumptuous prasad to be served to them, fitting the most royal prasad. Kaushalya and his ministers and so many of the important citizens of Ayodhya, thousands and thousands of them, they all finally came to Mithila, and there the wonderful wedding ceremony took place. And Maharaj Janak gave Janaki hand to Ram. And he and his brother gave their 3 daughters to Bharat, Lakshman, and Shatrughna. In this way, all 4 of the illustrious sons of Dasarath were suitably married. And it was a wonderful festival. And then they returned to live very happily in Ayodhya for some time. We will discuss that tomorrow. But for now, let us have kirtan to celebrate this wonderful.
People would see the ideal example of Krishna consciousness. Especially, he wanted to appeal to the intelligent class of.
Tapyanushrutyadananjayoditam Nasham yadunam bhagavad gatim chatham Ekanta bhakya bhagavati adhokshaje Niveshitatmo Pararama Samsrite
Kunti, after overhearing Arjuna's telling of the end of the Yadu dynasty and disappearance of Lord Krishna, Ananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmoy Sri Guru Venama. We are all in darkness in this world. Material life means darkness. Our eyes are blinded to spiritual reality. And therefore, by hearing the words of Guru, and by practicing those words, in other words, by hearing topics of devotion to the Lord, and engaging in such devotional activities, Krishna reveals himself. Krishna, who is the light of all lights. So in this way, Queen Kunti, in the mood of separation of Krishna, is completely fixing her consciousness in Krishna. And this is what Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught. This is the Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy. To learn how to meditate on Krishna in separation. Not to depend on witnessing or understanding or seeing Krishna with our material senses, but cultivating devotion, cultivating a mood of service to Krishna in separation. And the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, on the inspiration of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they exemplified in the highest state this type of love in separation. Srila Prabhupada told us that in Vrindavan, when he started his temple, he wanted to have a class of men who were genuinely following in the footsteps of the six Goswamis, which is very much different than many of the residents of Vrindavan who follow the path of Prakrita Sahajyas. The next morning, Lord Chaitanya was going to bathe in the Ganga. Jagayat Madhai saw them. And they said to Lord Chaitanya, in a mocking way, "Oh, Nimai, you sing very good. You were singing what? You were singing hymns to the goddess Chandi? You sing very nice." Lord Chaitanya, when he heard this, he just walked. He would not look at them. He just walked to the Ganges. But this is Agyata Sukriti. They somehow or other danced to the kirtan even in a negative state. And they somehow or other praised Lord Chaitanya's kirtan even in mockery. Srila Prabhupada explained, when we go out into the streets doing Haridam Sankirtan, any way people hear us or appreciate us, or any way they repeat the name after hearing it from the devotees, they make great spiritual advancement. One evening, Nityananda Prabhu came walking near the banks of the river Ganga, and there he saw Jagai and Madhai. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, again with great humility and compassion, approached them. "Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak the glories of Krishna. Krishna is your real wealth. He is your life and soul. Give up your sins and chant the holy names." Jagai and Madhai looked at him and said, "Ah, who are you? Who are you?" Nityananda Prabhu replied, "They call me Avadhut." When possible way, I must be very compassionate and charitable to uplift the fallen souls of this world. We should not be greedy or exploitative. That is the tendency of household life. We should understand that everything is the property of God.
And in a spirit of charity and service, we should utilize whatever we have to help others. This will bring about a real sense of happiness. Everyone is looking for happiness. People get married for happiness. And what we find in this world, no one is happy. Because they do not know that real happiness comes through serving. Not through taking and trying to enjoy, but through serving God, serving God's devotees, and serving the unfortunate, suffering people of this world. And if we live by this principle, not only will we find the greatest happiness, but we will be able to share it with so many others. The heart of our life should be based around glorifying God by chanting His holy names. Because that is the greatest wealth within creation, is the name of God. Through the name of God, the treasure of pure love is opened within our heart. And to share that love by sharing Krishna's name and Krishna's seva is the greatest service we could render in our lives. Rohini Kumar Prabhu was a very sincere devotee. He was performing a responsible job living in Belgaum. But he came to live in this temple, not even asking for a salary, because he wanted to help fill a great need of translating the Vedic literatures as written by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in the Marathi language. Through his great sacrifice and charitable disposition, hundreds and thousands of people are getting the opportunity to understand how to live in this world in Krishna consciousness. And to fulfill his natural obligation, he has accepted this Grihastha ashram. And by doing so, we are maximum. However, not bodily concept, not my child, but as a service to a little Vaishnav, to a little spirit soul, with Krishna in the center, then that same motherly affection becomes completely purified and spiritualized by making Krishna the center. Not just sentimentally, but practically. And similarly, friends. Friends should stand by one another and help one another through thick and thin, through all situations of life. A friend should stand by your side. In the material world, it's usually gangsters and mafias who have these relationships. They put their blood together. Now we are one. They make vow. We will die for each other. And they actually do. They stand by each other in this way. With such commitment. Sometimes others also. And that's the way God brothers and God sisters and fellow Vaishnavas should be. But with Krishna in the center. Not making money in the center. Not helping one another to enjoy sense gratification in the center. To help one another to overcome the obstacles of Maya, we have to stand by each other's sides and be there through thick, thin, whether the person is having great empowered service or whether the person is beaten down and kicked down by Maya, we should be right there. Haribo, Prabhu. Krishna's calling. We should be there. So we Krishnize these relationships. And then the relationships become perfect. And then we have a wonderful environment to spiritually grow throughout our lives. So this is service. And jointly together to bring more and more and more people. Sometimes the ministers of the king, who are very dear and confidential to the king, if they make a mistake, the king punishes them to teach them properly. When Advaitacharya heard this, he became filled with bliss. That means you have accepted me as your servant. You have punished me in this way, means that you have accepted me as a servant. Then he became blissful, started dancing, offering prayers to the Lord. So anyways, to get back to the subject of this class,
The purpose of life is to achieve love of Krishna. And the only means by which we can achieve love of Krishna is by being the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So a devotee's ultimate goal of life is to become attached to Krishna. And what is detachment? What is its purpose? Detachment is only a means of becoming attached. It is not the goal. That is a fundamental difference between personalism and impersonalism. Impersonalism, you detach yourself so you can be completely detached forever. And Vaishnavism is you become detached from the things of this world only so that you can become completely, absolutely, forever attached to Krishna. And those things in relationship to Krishna. So we are only concerned with detachment to the degree it helps us become attached to Krishna. Therefore, the Vaishnava school does not recommend artificial types of renunciation or austerity. Because sometimes those things can make you hard-hearted. And you become detached from Vaishnavas. You become detached from the loving service of the Lord. Attachment comes to the degree your heart becomes soft. Basic education. But not everyone requires so much high-level education. Here in India, it has been very much adopted. Parents send their girls to schools to get their degrees and their master's degrees just so that they'll get a good husband from the proper caste. But the poor girl, she's acting sometimes and living for years and years in a way that's so foreign to their very nature. Creates a terrible emotional situation in their life. So therefore we, not only the guru, but senior Vaishnavas, our counselors, can basically understand to a certain extent, you know, what a person's nature is and where they, particular way they could best serve. In previous ages, it was completely obvious. In this age, conditioning, we're conditioned to be what we're not. So it takes some sensitivity. Therefore, we should all try to encourage and guide people that whatever they're doing, they should do it in Krishna consciousness. We should try to guide people according to their natures to engage in particular type of life in Krishna consciousness. That's all. Yes?
In the initial part of your lecture, you talked about difference between love and and there is exploitation. So there is also a conception in the world of love in such a way, in the name of care, in the kind of love, in the name of brotherhood, spiritual care, but it is not so much where you incorporate the concept of God in that particular.
Here they chant. And then the children start going pointing, and the mother goes, Rohini Priya. And the child goes, Rohini Priya, Rohini Priya. Wall, wall. Ceiling, ceiling. Floor, floor. Me, me. We hear and we chant. And then as we become a little more developed, we're sent to school. They say, 1 + 1 = 2. And the child, 1 + 1 = 2. Shravanam Kirtan. So everything you hear, you learn. So hearing is the basis of our whole conception. It is by hearing that you think that you're of a particular family, you're of a particular race, a particular religion, a particular nation, a particular species of life.
So our whole conception of reality is based on what we hear. If we're reading the newspapers and all the magazines and watching the television and listening to the radio and hearing from the cinema houses, then our whole conception of reality will be based on what we hear. And this basis of reality, is it truth or is it illusion? That is what we must discriminate. Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about the soul's relationship with God and the wonderful eternal pastimes of the Lord. By regularly hearing this transcendental sound vibration, it has the power to cleanse all the misconceptions of all the mundane Shravanam and Kirtanam that we've been doing for all the millions of births in the past. There are so many anartas, unwanted things within our heart. How to move them? It is not possible by our own efforts, only by the mercy of Krishna. And very high in the sky, Krishna assumed the weight of the peak of a mountain. Hare Krishna. He was very heavy. Mahima Siddhi. Again, wait, Mother Yashoda, she was very happy when Krishna was heavy. She just put him down. But Trinavarta, he wanted to put him down too. Krishna let Yashoda put him down. Trinavarta said, get off, get out of here. But Krishna was so heavy, he just put his arm around Trinavarta's neck. This big, big demon. And Trinavarta was struggling to get him off. And Krishna was so heavy that Trinavarta could not go any higher. He was struggling and straining. And Krishna started to squeeze his neck. Hare Krishna! He squeezed. Little one-year-old child on his big demon squeezing. When he would squeeze Yashoda, she would go, ha, 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 very nice, he's squeezing. When he would squeeze his friends, they would go, oh, Krishna, you squeeze nice. But Trinavarta, he squeezed. His neck! Trinavarta choked. He could not breathe anything in or out. He could not move his limbs. His eyeballs started popping out of the sockets of his head. He suffocated. Krishna strangled him with his little hand. Trinavarta was dead. And after dying, he fell to the ground. And actually, by the time he was way up in the air, the dust storm was gone. And then everyone was just looking for Krishna. He was nowhere. Everyone could see, but they couldn't find Krishna. They were crying and crying and crying. Where is Krishna? Searching. Where is Krishna? The six Goswamis also. And these two sinners, Jagai and Madhai, he could not maintain his consciousness. So they all began to sing the glories of Lord Gauranga all around Yamaraj to bring him back to consciousness. The various demigods sang very loudly in his ears the holy names of Lord Krishna.
Krishna! Krishna!
Hare Krishna!
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 Hare Hare!
Hare!
After some time, Yamaraj came to consciousness in the great ecstasy of love for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He began to roar the holy names, Gauranga! He began to dance and dance and dance beside himself, dancing. The demigods were struck with wonder to see Yamaraj dancing like this in such ecstasy. The kirtan became so wonderful. Shiva began to dance. As he was dancing, all his clothes fell off and he didn't even know.
He was so absorbed in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, his long matted hair was flying one direction and another. And behind him was Ganesh and Kartikeya dancing in transcendental ecstasy. And then Brahma with his four heads, with his arms raised, were calling out the names of Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
He was dancing along with his sons, like Daksha and Kashyapa and Bhrigu Muni. They were all immersed in the kirtan of the glorification of Lord Gauranga's holy names. Narada Muni joined the kirtan. He was so intoxicated by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he had never seen such mercy. What Nityananda Prabhu has done, he became so absorbed in the kirtan, he lost his veena. And then Ananta Shesha came to join the kirtan, and he started dancing with Garuda. And soon so many demigods surrounded Ananta Shesha, and with his hundreds and hundreds of mouths, he was glorifying the holy names of Lord Chaitanya by chanting. Varuna, Agni, Kuvera, they were all Chandra. They were dancing and singing such a wonderful kirtan, all the Devakas together, celebrating the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai, the supreme mercy of Gaura Nithai. Some days went by. Madhai was feeling so much grief in his heart. He was thinking that Lord Nityananda Prabhu, his Lord Balaram himself, he has relieved all the sins of my heart and given me Krishna Prema. And I beat him on the head with a pot and made him bleed. He could not get this guilt out of his heart. One day in a secluded place, Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Madhai met. Madhai began to offer beautiful prayers of love to Lord Nityananda Prabhu, glorifying his mercy, that although you have rescued me by your causeless mercy, you have descended to give love of God to everyone in this world. I beat you on the head with a pot. I caused you suffering. I caused blood to come out of your body. How could I go on living with this thought? Lord Nityananda Prabhu explained, I have already forgiven you, like a father forgives a foolish child. Madhai said, but what about all the sins and offenses I committed to so many people? I don't even know who they are. Please tell me a means by which I can atone for these offenses. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he said, on the bank of the Ganges, construct a beautiful bathing ghat where all the people of Navadweep amongst the devotees could take their bath and be there. Keep it clean and serve all the people that come. Madhai, with great happiness, he took a spade and worked very, very hard digging into the bank of the Ganga to build a beautiful bathing ghat. And he stayed at that bathing ghat. He kept it clean. Anybody who came to take their bath, he would offer his prostrated obeisances at their lotus feet with genuine humility
and with folded palms and tears of love and repentance in his eyes, he would beg them, "Please forgive me if I have ever caused any offense to you or your family or friends." And people's hearts would melt. They would melt by seeing the humility of Madhai. They would shower their blessings upon him. After they would bathe, he would clean up after them. He would carry things for them. He would, just like a humble menial servant, assist everyone in every possible way that came to that ghat to make them happy. It is explained that some people who were so angry and hard-hearted with Jagai and with Madhai, sometimes at that bathing ghat, they would throw a stone at him. Madhai would pick up that stone and give it back to them and say, "Please, throw it again. I deserve worse." From the two most egoistic, sinful, terrible demons, Jagai and Madhai became so humble. They were living embodiments of the sacred teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Trinadapi sunichena, tadorapi sahishnana, amanina manatena kirtaniya sadha. By the mercy of Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they became more humble than the straw in the street, more tolerant than the tree, ready to offer all respects to other, not expecting any respect for themselves. In this way, Jagai and Madhai became great Paramhamsa Vaishnavas, constantly chanting Krishna's holy name.
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Did you want to speak something, Maharaj?
You covered everything I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
Except the one special event of Lord Nityananda's mercy. You mentioned the kicking, the Buddhist. Another time he was traveling, all the devotees were traveling from Navadvip to Puri. It was a regular thing every year for Ratha Yatra. And Shivananda Sen, who was a very together grihastha, he would organize everything, take care of all the meals and the tents or whatever. Like if you've been on the Navadvip Parikram, it's quite a job. So one time Nityananda was hungry, and he was informed that Shivananda Sen had not gotten his meals together yet, and were not ready. So he was very angry. He said, "I'm starving and I'm dying and I'm not..." And he kicked him right in the stomach, kicked Shivananda Sen, and he cursed that his son would die. So Shivananda Sen was happy to get this mercy, the foot of Lord Nityananda in his belly. But his wife was very disturbed when she heard about it, because she was crying and she was very angry. And the son is cursed to die. And Shivananda said, "If Nityananda desires, let my son die." This is how he understood Lord Nityananda. So he delivers his mercy in different ways. To the demons, he embraces them and gives them all love of God. To the pure devotee, he kicks them. He's known to be very, very funny, Nityananda. He's very humorous. He's jolly, laughing. Anyway, the leelas are unlimited, so we can't cover them all. One of the more famous ones is the Chuda Dadi feast with Raghunath Das. When Raghunath Das had left home and was with the devotees, and he had money, his father was worried about him. He knew he couldn't get him to come back home, so he sent money. And he would always spend that money to feed the Vaishnavas. So one time he found Lord Nityananda at... what is the place? Panihati. It's down the river from Mayapur. And he was sitting on a raised platform with all his devotees, and very opulently dressed. Sometimes he didn't wear any clothes, sometimes he was dressed all in jewels. And when he was in Navadvip there at the house of Srivas, sometimes he would be naked dancing. Lord Chaitanya would come and make him get dressed again and say, "I told you not to do this." He would just put all his clothes on his head like a turban. The Avaduta. So Raghunath was keeping his distance, but Lord Nityananda became a little angry. He said, "You come here." And then he said, "You have to pay some punishment." So he...
Hare Gaura Madhu Sware, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Sware Grihe tako vane tako Sada hari bole tako Grihe tako vane tako Sada hari bole tako Duke duke bula na ko varne hari nam bodore. Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Gai Gaura Madhu Sware. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Keep that connection to Krishna, just as Putana did. Well, we want to do it in a different way, but we want to keep that connection. She was trying to get Krishna away. Our false ego was also trying to get Krishna away. I want to do this, but I can't because Krishna's watching in my heart. But he won't see me. But hey, Krishna, I'll get away with it. Our mind will justify so many things. But actually, a devotee, we want to always purify our soul and our body, our mind, everything. By hearing the glories of Krishna and chanting his holy name. Krishna, who was Nanda Gopal, the child of Sri Nanda Maharaj, was doing his little baby pastimes, Bal Leela. When he was 3 months old, he started to try to get up and crawl. Wonderful, wonderful scene.
Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, Gopas, Gopis, they were just so much eager. Anything Krishna did. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says, all mothers should be like this with their children. That whatever the child does should give pleasure to the parents. The parents are in a mood of serving, trying to help the child in every way. So here little Krishna, he was trying to somehow or other lean his body, slant it upwards slightly. He was laying down, always laying, and he was trying to slant it upwards slightly. And this brought such bliss to the heart of Yashoda Mai. Krishna slanting his body. Not even. By hearing the glories of Krishna, by chanting the holy names of Krishna, by associating with true, genuine devotees of Krishna, it awakens our desire for Krishna. And as that desire awakens, we start to feel separation from Krishna due to the dust in our heart. We're not able to see Him. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Chaito Darpana Marajanam Bhavahada Vagni Nirvapanam Sreya Kairava Chandrikavataranam Vidyapatu Jivanam. That all this dust storm covering the mirror of our heart, it can all be removed by Krishna who has descended through the process of chanting His holy name. While gopis were lamenting due to separation from Krishna, Trinavarta had Krishna. But because he was not a devotee, he could not feel any ecstasy. There was no ananda. There was only the desire to kill the child and eat him. Hare Krishna. And for such demoniac people, actually, this is a very good lesson. Please listen carefully. Are you ready? Krishna lets you appear that you're succeeding for some time before he smashes you down. For materialistic people who are trying to exploit Krishna by exploiting his energy, trying to become very, very great in various ways on the basis of greed, Krishna becomes light like a piece of grass and lets you become richer and richer and richer and richer and more and more and more famous, more and more powerful, more and more influential, more and more learned, more and more popular. And you're thinking, I'm going higher and higher and higher. And then all of a sudden, you'll see what happens.
That those who are too much attached to material opulence, sense gratification.
Lo payo padishen nagri harudha chetase na bhaktaya chame chatu na mad bhaktad visham api.
Lord Kapila continued,
this instruction is not meant for the envious, for the agnostics, but for persons who are unclean in their behavior. Nor is it for hypocrites or for persons who are proud of material possessions. It is not to be instructed to persons who are too greedy and too attached to family life, nor to persons who are non-devotees and who are envious of the devotees and of the personality of Godhead.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Actually, you should cancel.
Anuvad. यह उपदेश न तो उन लोगों को दिया जाए जो अत्यंत लालची अत्याधिक आसक्त हैं, न ही अभक्तों और भगवान के प्रति ईर्ष्या रखने वालों को दिया जाए.
Persons who are always planning to do harm to other living entities are not eligible to understand Krishna consciousness and cannot enter into the realm of transcendental loving service to the Lord.
जो लोग सदैव अन्य जीवों की हानि पहुंचाने की योजनाएं बनाते रहते हैं वे कृष्ण भक्ति को समझने के अधिकारी नहीं हैं और वे भगवान की दिव्य प्रेम भक्ति के प्रदेश में प्रवेश नहीं कर सकते.
Also, there are so-called disciples who become submissive.
Jananivas Prabhu. So, however many opinions there may be, we accept Jananivas as our authority. So, he oversaw the whole puja, everything, for many days, and then he actually made the overall entire standards for our temple. But before he left, he told us he was going to give us a special gift. And he reconfirmed this when we met him at the Mayapur Yatra in Kartik. And just last month, our head pujari Rup Raghunath Prabhu and Sanat Kumar Prabhu, they went to Mayapur temple. He presented to us from the altar of Sri Nrsimhadev a beautiful shalagram shila. And he said that he told us how we should begin the worship. So this evening at the Abhishek of Gaur Nitai we will inaugurate the worship of Sri Shalagram Shila, who will be residing here for all time to come as our worshipable Lord Master and hopefully Sri Shalagram Srila Bhagavan will be pleased with our service. Please come tonight, this evening at 6:30. We will have Abhishek. We will continue the narrations of the pastimes of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Especially this evening, we will speak of the pastimes of Nityananda Prabhu after Lord Chaitanya sent him back to Bengal to preach. Then we will have wonderful offerings and a magnificent, ecstatic kirtan to celebrate the king of all kirtan, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, by loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Shri Nityananda Ram ki, Shri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Kavichandra Maharaj ki, Gopimanandi. Thank you very much. Trinadapi Sunichena, Tadorapi Sahish.